Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this afternoon, or I should say this evening. It's Sunday, June 28th. It's hard to believe that next weekend's going to be the 4th of July already in 2020. And we're really glad you're tuned in. We're going to continue our study this evening in the book of 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. We've done 1 John. That took us 9 programs. Isn't that hard to believe?
Wow.
9 programs.
So what chapter are we in 2 John?
Well, there's only one chapter, Ed.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because some people say 2 John chapter 1, but I guess that's what it is. But mine doesn't even have a number there. It's just, you know how most of your chapters are numbered? It's not there in my Bible. But we want to just remind you of a few things before we get started. We're really grateful to Ray Powers and New Visions Radio for giving us the chance. Every week we get to broadcast here and we do a fresh program. And from time to time, things come up and we can't do a fresh program, and he'll take one of the old ones and he'll put it back in there. And I know it's a lot of work. Ray, we appreciate all you do for us. We're very grateful for giving us a spot here on New Visions Radio. We've been doing this for, I think they started in 2013, and we've been with them ever since they started. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, so many years.
And also, we have every week, we have a worship service. And who wants to tell them a little bit about that? Ed?
Sure. Every Sabbath or Saturday, we come together at 9:30, and we have what we call a Sabbath school. It's basically a study on whatever we're studying in the Bible at that time. And then at 11 o'clock, we have our normal worship service.
Okay. And you can find that if you go online and you go to prophecyhope.com. You can find that. And it's very simple to navigate. Once you get there, you'll see that you can stream live. And there's a lot of sermons. There's a lot of information on the website, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, that's right. I think every message that we've given since probably 2012 or 13 is on there.
Yeah.
And I think people want to know what we believe here at Prophecies of Hope. I think we've made it so it's not something that we boil down into just a few words or phrases like we would have a creed. We kind of want to avoid that.
Yes.
And what we do is take different subjects, and we want to open our Bibles, see what the Bible says about those subjects. So I don't think, not on the Prophecies of Hope website, are you going to find a clear and concise little box of beliefs that we have.
Right.
Because we want to continue to believe what the Word of God says. And I don't believe we can say it any better than God's Word.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should say that, Rick, because people will say, and we say this too, well, we believe what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And then we begin to, what will happen is somebody will say that, and then they begin to put it in a written form of, well, this is what the Bible says. Open your Bible and see what it says.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. And as much as possible, we want to use Bible language.
Yeah,
because when the Bible uses the word, just pick a Bible word, receive. Does it mean receive? I don't know. That's what the Bible says. So why should I put my language in when the Bible's language is? Let's just use Bible words, and then we can let the Bible interpret itself.
There you go. So this program, this radio program, if you're tuning in for the first time, we use only the Bible, and we want to encourage you to study your Bible, to open it on a daily basis, even if you just read a verse or two, and try to get in that habit. And if you don't know much about the Bible, purchase, or you can download a free app online. You can get it on your phone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone, eSword, and Bible, Android Bible, any translation pretty much you can find if you just go to your app store, and they're free. A lot of them are.
Yes, they are.
So one last thing before we begin this study. If you want to contact me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And if you want to contact me, it's ed@prophecyhope.com.
And for me, it's rick@prophecyhope.com.
So that's pretty simple. That's how you reach us. If you have a Bible question, a topic you'd like to hear discussed, send it in. We'll try to tackle it and see what the Bible says about it. So if there's one other announcement that I wanted to make is, you know, just as we stream live every Sabbath or Saturday morning, like Ed was telling you, there's a Bible series coming up this September. So if you want to know some of the things that we believe as a ministry, if you tune into that September 28th through October the 3rd, you'll get to see a lot of things that we understand from Bible prophecy, where we're living, what our understanding is, where we are in the stream of time, things that have taken place historically, and how these things will happen according to God's word.
Yeah, it will be fairly concise, Mark. Mm-hmm. You have a way of presenting things that are just slow and in progression. And my experience with these programs that we've put on before, and you being the speaker, Mark, is that you really want to see what the Bible says on a particular subject.
Amen.
And you said, you use the word prophecy, which is in Prophecies of Hope name.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be more of a focus than this year than it has for the last few. We're living in strange and precarious times right now, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, we are.
And the Bible has a lot to say about the times that we're living.
It sure does.
I would encourage our listeners to take note of the dates of those. It's September 28th through October 3rd, right?
Yes, 7 p.m.
Go ahead and put it in your Google Calendar right
now. There you
go. And you know, every evening we'll be broadcasting that live on our website.
And that's Eastern Time, USA, just so you know. New York, it's the same time as New York City.
And if they can't catch it live, it will be on the website.
We will post it on the website, that's correct.
And you know, it's just going to be 5 nights. And is that right? Six nights.
Right. We begin on Monday and end on Saturday night.
Let me tell you, it'll be well worth your time because the Bible has things to teach us about the times that we're living.
Amen. So I tell you what, we need, whenever we do a Bible study, we always open with prayer. And Rick, would you start us with prayer, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your blessing as we open your word. We want to be enlightened by the Spirit of Christ, which you've given to us freely if we want him in our lives. Father, we're claiming the promise where two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, he will be among us. And we ask these things humbly as we open your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So, Ed, I think, where do we say we were in the study? We read 1 through 6 last week.
Yes, we're ready to start 2 John Chapter 1, verse 7.
Well, I'll tell you what, just because sometimes people might be here this week that weren't here last week, can we read 1 through 6 and then go on? Because it's just 6 short verses.
Sure.
Who wants to read that? One of you guys have that? I've got the New King James.
I have the Modern King James.
You want to do that?
Sure. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, for the sake of the truth dwelling in us, and which shall be with us forever. Grace will be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found your children walking in truth, as we have received command from the Father. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, as you've heard it from the beginning, that you should walk in it.
Okay, so we talked a lot about this last week, and just by way of review, you know, we talked about the commandments, and what do they encompass? How could we sum the commandments up in just maybe a simple word?
Well, I think this passage does that. It says love.
That's it.
And just my comment on that is it's really hard to do somebody wrong if you love them, or it should be.
Right.
You know, we...
Unintentionally, we may.
We may. But if we really love someone, we should treat them like we love them. That's it.
So if we really love God... How should we
that's a great point,
interact with him?
Yeah. We would do the things that he asks of us, just like you would with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If I do something that irritates you, and you say, Mark, you know, what you did right there, it really bothers me, and I continue to do it, that's a lack of love on my part, isn't it? Rick's looking at me smiling because sometimes I do things to him unintentionally. We probably spend more time together than Ed and I do on a personal level because we work together a little bit.
You know, I think God has a way of getting into our hearts with the things that he wants us to know. Mm. And really, when you think about God's love for us, how could we ever return him with the same amount or same quantity, same quality of love? I don't know. It seems impossible to me.
It is.
But in some way, God loves us so much that he wants us to be with him forever. He really wants all of us to be saved.
Amen.
And he's been willing to do just about anything in the universe for that. Not to give up his principles.
Right.
But other than that, he's really... I know the phrase is, he's really poured out everything he has from heaven for us.
Yes, he has.
Including his son.
Yeah. You know, it's an amazing thing. Rick, you have children. Ed, you have children. So could you even imagine giving one of your children, any one of them, for the life of someone else that you know is likely going to reject them?
Hmm. No, that seems pretty difficult in my book. And I think... just speaks to the love of God when we really start to think about what he's done for us as humans.
Yeah, that itself should draw us to him. So that gets us started there. If you haven't heard the program, you can go back. They're archived on the website if you'd like to hear more on this passage of 2 John 1 through 6. So let's continue on. Where is the paragraph mark? Mine is from 7 to 11, through 11. Is that about right?
Yes.
Your translation, Rick. How does the King James read there? Is it difficult or is it?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Okay.
You want me to start in verse 7?
Sure.
Right. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
You want to stop there?
Yeah, we might as well.
This is, unpacking this can really be something, isn't it? Mm. So let me ask you guys this, because, you know, as we learn, the more we learn about the Bible, sometimes we might have an understanding of something and we read something else and it just broadens it so much more. And so my understanding of this now is much broader than it was when I first read it a long time ago. So when it says that many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, is that talking about future or past?
Well, I think it can mean both.
Okay.
But it can be talking about the present too.
Okay. Hmm. So let's unpack that a little bit. This word flesh... And this, what does that mean? What does it generally mean when we look at this word flesh in the Bible?
Well, let's just go through what it could mean.
Okay.
It could mean like the skin on my arms and on my legs. Okay?
Absolutely.
It could be the flesh that
we're made of.
Yeah, like that's, you're a human being, so you have skin, you have arms and legs, and you know that's the one definition.
Okay.
Well, also in the Bible, you have this conflict in Galatians between the flesh and the spirit.
Okay.
They kind of go against each other. And that particular passage is talking about the flesh representing the sinfulness of the world.
Okay.
Versus the spirit being the goodness of God.
Can we open that up a little bit just so we can get a better understanding?
Sure.
Is that found in Galatians chapter 5?
5, yes.
That's a New Testament book for those of you who are tuning in, if you have your Bibles handy. Just while we're turning there, you guys have it on your computer.
I'm
turning there, so I'm going to talk while I'm turning there, if that's all
right.
Just for you folks on the phone, on the air here. Sorry about that. You can tell where I spend most of my time, can't you? One of the things that I like to do in my Bible is make little notes. Like sometimes there might be a verse here in Galatians that goes along with a verse there in John. And I write those little things right in the margin, right next. Ed, you're pointing to your computer.
I have on my Bible, on my computer, I have a section that says study notes. And I copy and paste different verses in there.
So you've got, basically it's like a Bible margin where you can put things and reference. And so those things help me to remember. And after you do it enough, you know, I've got a new Bible over here. I've been breaking in just on and off. And now I've gotten to where, oh, I remember where that text is because it was written in my old Bible. So it really helps. It helps with scripture memory. So we were talking about this flesh and spirit. Where can we start here?
Verse 16.
All right, Galatians 5, verse 16. Could someone read that, please?
I'll go ahead and read that. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, at least whatever you may will, these things you do. But okay. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Let's stop there just for a minute. So what is the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit? Rick, you've got something there in the...
I've got an NIV, New International Version, and it kind of opens this up.
Good.
Let me read verse 16. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature."
There you go. So let me ask you this. This isn't talking about two different people.
No.
What's this mean?
It's about the war that's inside us.
Okay.
Between doing good, which is characterized by the word spirit here in this text,
right,
or doing what we want to do, or evil stuff that we're prone to do because we're in this sinful state now as human beings. And that's characterized by the flesh here in this chapter.
What was the word the NIV used for that?
Sinful nature.
Sinful nature.
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, the spirit, we could say in this regard, is our character, right? What maybe how God wants us to live. Could we say that?
Yeah, but our character is certainly tainted by the sin that we have in our lives.
It is. But if we've talked before in weeks past about Christ in you, about his spirit being in us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if we have his spirit, that's going to be contrary to anything sinful, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So is this the context in which we're looking at this?
Yeah, I think if we continue to read the scripture, that will be self-evident.
Let's do that. Go ahead. Where were we?
Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, fightings, jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and things like these, of which I tell you before, and I also said before, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But those belonging to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit.
Yeah, I'm glad you read that nice and deliberately, because sometimes we just read those traits, those characteristics, we just kind of blast through them. There's a lot here.
Yeah, it's an awful lot.
Because it's contrasting the... This is my understanding, and jump in at any time. It looks like it's contrasting these fleshly desires of adultery and sorcery and hatred with the spiritual desire, which is love and joy and peace,
right,
and those type of things. Go ahead.
What are we seeing in the world right now?
The fleshly things seem like they're being amplified.
Yes.
Doesn't it? It seems like it's just getting out of control.
Yeah.
So when I look at this again, it says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. I need some explanation here. What does that mean?
Can I give you my favorite example?
Yeah, I love that. Go ahead.
All right. Here in Virginia, there's a major highway called I-81.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy. If I'm going down the highway and the speed limit is 70,
right,
And if I'm doing 70 miles an hour and see a policeman sitting alongside the road, am I worried?
Not at all. No.
Why? Because I'm obeying the law.
You don't get that nervous feeling.
Right. If I'm doing 90 miles an hour down the highway and you see a policeman sitting next to the highway, you also, your adrenaline kicks in.
It
and
does.
And because you're disobeying the law.
Right.
And so if you're being obedient to law, you have no worries. You're not under the penalty of the law.
That's it.
But if you are breaking the law, then you're subject to the penalty of the law.
So what I hear you saying is, if we have this spirit within us and we're doing these things that produce this fruitage of God's spirit, we're within the limit of the law.
It says there's no law against doing those things.
Yeah. But if I'm doing these other things, these fleshly things, now I come under the penalty of the law.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that it says this, because so many people look at these things. I'm going to include myself, because I've, at some time or another, you know, I may not have killed somebody literally, but I might really dislike them and want bad things to happen.
Yeah.
So in a spiritual sense, I'm hurting that person.
That's what Jesus says, yeah.
Yeah. He says, if you even think it.
Yeah.
If you've looked at a woman to have lust with her, you've committed adultery in your heart, he says.
Or if you hate someone, it's like murder.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really, boy, this sounds down who we really need to be like, doesn't it?
Right.
Why do you think he says those things?
You know, I think the way Rick has expressed it, where worship begins, I think it all has to do with that. That's why Jesus said these things.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think what we think in our minds, I mean, because that's what controls all of us, right? Our mind, our heart, our thoughts.
It eventually comes out.
It eventually comes out. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I want to find that text. A text that I'm thinking of, and I believe it was Jesus that said, out of the abundance of the heart, here it is.
How about abundance of the mouth?
Yeah. What's that?
The abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks.
The abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks.
No. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm sorry.
That's good. Well, Matthew 12:34. Let me turn there. That's good, Ed. I thought you were making a joke, to be honest with you. You had it backwards. I knew what you meant. Matthew 24:34 in the New King James. Here's the way it reads, and this is so true. If you really think about this, he says, "Is that it?" Matthew 12. I said 24, didn't I? Matthew 12:34. Jesus says this. He says, "Beloved, or brood of vipers," he says, "How can you? Wait a minute. Yeah, that's where I'm supposed to be. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks."
Yeah, that's this says it all. I mean, it really teaches us that what's inside of us is going to come out eventually.
And the day we're living in right now, there's such pressure, such anxiety, such distress. A lot of things are coming out.
Absolutely. Yeah, people are feeling the pressure. You know, yeah. I have to tell you, I haven't felt that pressure, because we live in a kind of an isolated area. You know, we're in a small town, and things don't affect us as rapidly.
Right.
And I think we've got another advantage too, and that's who we know.
Yes,
which is the Father and His Son.
Yes.
And they get us through times of crisis like this, because we realize that His Spirit can work with us and help us to overcome any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So where were we, guys? We were back there in Galatians talking about this law in chapter 5. That's one thing I did want to point out. Excuse me. One thing that is really important, and so many Christians overlook this, there's a whole list of things here about these desires of the flesh.
Yes.
And it says that if we're doing those things, we cannot be in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And what's the reason for that? Why can't I be in the kingdom of God doing those things?
Because they're against God's law.
And, yeah, if I'm doing those things now, and Jesus comes while I'm doing those things, where's it going to put me? Not in the kingdom.
Right.
So I have to overcome, not when he comes,
right,
but before he comes. So many people believe that when we're translated, all those things will be taken away from us. But we have to be, our personalities, our characters have to be transformed so that we can be translated.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at it from God's side. The sin that has happened in this world is a horrible, terrible thing. To the point that the sin and sinner will be destroyed. But God so loved the world that he sent his son. Do you think he's going to be willing to take the chance that this can happen again?
Yeah, that's a great point.
By having someone who loves sin so much to bring them into the kingdom?
Yeah, it can't happen, can it?
No.
We've talked about that before, being
safe to save.
Safe to save. What a great way to put it. It really is. So any other thoughts before we go back here to John verse 7? 2 John verse 7?
No, I think we need to go back there and apply what we've learned elsewhere in Scripture back
Let's
to that text.
What are your thoughts there, Rick? 2 John verse 7, it says, again, I'll just read it before you, if anybody, either one of you guys want to comment. For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Now, we were talking about us being, you know, that we were contrasting flesh to the Spirit. Right? So when Jesus came in the flesh, what does that mean?
He came as a human.
As we are.
Yeah.
Can we find a text that says that?
Yes.
Not just one.
Oh, look, we have. Let's take a look at some of these.
Okay.
So not just one. I like that. Well, not just a text. We've got some texts here.
Well, here, let's before we go to those texts,
sure,
let's talk about the possibilities.
Okay.
So this text says that Jesus is come in the flesh. That's present tense. But it could be talking about Jesus coming as a human being,
mm-hmm,
okay, just on face value.
Right.
Or it could be talking about, like I believe we understand it, and that is that Jesus came in the same likeness as we are right now. In other words, I was born, the Bible says, in iniquity did my mother conceive me.
That's
so
a prophecy.
In a state
about
of
Jesus.
Sinfulness, am I conceived and I brought forth? We've got no choice as to where we're born, right? We can't be born on some other planet or born in heaven. We're born right here on the earth by a human mom and dad, right? So that being the case, Jesus came in the same way that every other baby came to the world. And that is, he was born. He was born a human being in the likeness of sinful flesh. And that's the exact words that scripture uses.
I have it right here.
Okay, very good.
And you'll be surprised how it goes so well with what we just read in Galatians.
Okay.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8. I want to read verses 3 and 4. We could do a lot more, but let's just start with that. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Notice there was nothing wrong with the law, but the flesh was weak.
Right.
God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Mm. Wow, that fits hand in glove with what we read in Galatians.
Yes.
It does. It does. So this this text that you quoted, Rick, you cited it, is Psalm 51:5, where it says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me."
Yeah,
I just wanted to put that out there for
the and
people that are listening.
It stands to reason, you know. I guess if we were to point outside and point at a tree, that tree, when it has acorns or whatever seeds it has on it, you don't get cedar trees from an oak tree.
And that's right.
You don't get maple trees from a cedar tree. You know, like begats like. So you don't get giraffes from donkeys.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you get humans from human beings.
Right.
So when Jesus, when Mary, this Virgin Mary, conceived, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, she conceived and Jesus was born.
Yes.
And so he took on humanity at that time, even though before that he was the divine Son of God. Now, I don't know how God worked all that to make it happen.
Right.
I think that's a good question we're going to ask him
someday.
That's
where faith comes in. We believe what the Bible says.
Yeah, God does miraculous things. Sure. How he does those miraculous things are, that's what makes him God.
How do you part the waters?
Yeah. So, but that being the case, Mary wasn't sinless herself. She lived a normal human being life that we live now.
Now I want to say,
and she's begetting like. Okay, right, so right. She has this child, and you know, so, I think the listeners can follow what I'm saying. It's pretty simple.
If there are anybody, if anyone is Catholic and listening, they just gasped when you said that Mary wasn't sinless, because. Yeah. You know, my Catholic relatives believe that in what's called the Immaculate Conception, where the only way that they can get to the fact that Jesus is divine and human is they understand. This is not our teaching, by the way, but Catholics do understand, and I can say this because it's in the Catechism, that Mary had no sin. That's what they believe. And the Bible tells me that there's only one that never sinned.
That's Jesus Christ.
That's Jesus, yeah.
So that's what I'm going to believe is what the Bible says over what men have put together.
So let me continue. He's in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean that he ever chose to sin. In fact, the Bible says that there was no iniquity found in Jesus.
Right.
So he didn't choose sin on his own, but he's born into a place. He doesn't have a choice of to what his nature is like when he's born from a human sinful being.
Right. He was born of the seed of Abraham.
So they'll walk this through, though. If that's the case, that means Jesus was able to go through what you and I go through. He was able to be tempted in the same way you and I are tempted.
Yes.
He was able to overcome through the power of just relying on his Father, on our God, to say no to sin every single time he had a choice between good and evil.
Yeah. Hebrews 4 brings that out.
Yes, that's where we need to go next. We really need to look at that in the Bible.
So like I said, I in the position where I know, where I believe that Jesus was tempted like we are.
Sure.
And he had to be in a position to be born as we are to be able to endure all the temptations that you and I endure. Yeah. It's just that simple.
You know, it's interesting because I've talked to a lot of different Christians about this, and I would say that it's about a 50-50 mix of some that believe exactly what you just said, that, well, yeah, he came here in the flesh as we are, and others believe, well, no, he had to be absolutely perfect in every sense of the word with his flesh. It was his character that had to be perfect.
Yeah, I think that's really what we're talking about, because a person, you know, how can God blame a person if they're born and they have a birth defect or something like that? That's a result of sin.
Sure.
So is God going to hold them responsible because they're born with a birth defect? That's pretty ridiculous to
me.
I think everybody listening would think that's pretty ridiculous.
We're all born with a birth defect.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're all sinners and we're born with that birth defect.
Yes.
So I don't think God holds even that birth defect of being born into a sinful nature against us, because he's given us ample means through his Son to overcome this nature.
So Hebrews chapter 4, Ed, what do you have there?
Verses 14 and 15.
Okay.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in the time of need.
So when you read verse 15, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
You know, it's really a place to praise God for this, because Jesus was tempted in every way like us. And now we know somebody can do it. That's the first good news.
Yeah. That's just so true.
And if we look into how Jesus did that, it's because he put all of his trust and his faith in his Father.
Yeah.
And he didn't rely on his own understanding to overcome sin and to say no to all the sinful things in this world.
Yeah, you know something, guys, and you know this about me, the listeners don't. All of my life I was taught that Jesus was born with the same exact type of condition that Adam was created with. In other words, Adam was absolutely perfect in every sense of the world. He was a sinless, righteous, no sin was found in his flesh. But now, after studying the Bible in the last few years, I've come to realize that this text here especially is saying that Jesus inherited the same flesh that we have from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Can I bring you to some text that might bring all this together?
Yeah, please.
Hebrews chapter 2.
Okay.
Verses 16 through 18.
Let's look at that. What's
it say? It says, "For truly he did not take the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself has suffered, having been tempted, he is able to rescue those who are being tempted."
So, yeah, go ahead, Rick.
Well, I'd like to read it from a New International Version because it's a little more. I mean, you read the word propitiation.
Yes.
That's not a word that
that's
we use
word.
From day to day.
Yeah. That's not daily language.
So I'm going to start back in verse 14. If that's
okay,
all right.
Sure.
It says, "Since the children have flesh and blood," that's talking about you and me. Okay.
Right.
"Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him that holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Mm. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants.
Uh-huh.
For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people."
So, that's,
because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
So this word atonement isn't an everyday word. It sounds a little more like I've used that more, but what does that mean, atonement?
I guess in modern terms we would say, make amends for. Made amends for. I did something wrong, and I went back and I made amends for that.
Okay, that's a very good way of putting it. I heard one time someone say, if you look at the word, it's the word at, A-T, one, O-N-E, ment, atonement, at one ment. It brings us to the Father, at one to the Father.
Reconciliation?
Yeah, that's a good. It brings two people back together who've been separated by some instance or circumstance.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Christ does for us. This is what this is telling us, that he, because of what he did, he came here like we are and overcame by the power that the Father gave him because he relied on his Father.
Yes, and because of that, now in the time we are living, he can help us. He can rescue us who are being tempted. He can help us overcome sin in our lives.
That's it.
Because he's experienced it. He knows how to do it.
He's experienced what we have experienced.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take us back to 2 John.
Okay.
After we've discussed all this of Jesus coming in the flesh, let's see what John has to say about that.
Okay.
And this is 2 John. It's chapter 1. There's only one chapter, verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So evidently, John thought it was really important that we believe Jesus came to this earth like us.
Yes.
So he can help us in every way make this atonement or reconciliation back with God.
You know, I have to say it. I'm glad I'm where I am now, because at one time I did not believe that Jesus came in the flesh as we're talking about it. I didn't know that. I didn't believe that.
So if we don't believe that Jesus came here like we are, it really has a devastating effect on the gospel.
Yeah,
then we could use the excuse, well, Jesus wasn't like me. He didn't pay the penalty for a life like mine.
Or we could say, well, the only reason that he could do it and not sin is because he wasn't like I am.
He wasn't like I am. I've got an excuse to sin now.
See, and none of us have an excuse.
None of us have an excuse. So it really is important to the very concept of the gospel, of Christ paying the penalty for you and I, because he lived the perfect life just like you and I. In other words,
he can do that.
Yeah, we're sinners,
right?
But he overcame that part of our life.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Do you have a thought, Ed?
Yes, I do. I've got a question.
Okay.
It says that these deceivers are the ones who do not confess Jesus Christ. What does it mean to confess Jesus Christ? How do we do that?
You know, I think that part of that is our witness, recognizing that we know him. You know, sometimes, let's face it, there might be things or in your life that you don't want people to know. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be a little embarrassing to you. Well, I'm not embarrassed to say that I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
I want to preach it to everybody. I can't keep my mouth shut. That's confessing, I believe.
We confess by what we tell other people. We confess by how we live our lives.
Actions,
our characters.
Right. That's exactly right. That's a tremendous witness. Just what we do is a tremendous witness. Yeah. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. A sermon in shoes.
That's good.
So I have a question about this. I know we're still on verse 7,
That's
but I have
okay.
a question. This term Antichrist, we talked about it a little bit before. Do you just want to review that real quick? What does that term mean?
You know, the actual word is Antichristos in Greek. And, you know, I had an understanding of this, too, that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to relearn so many things.
We all
know,
have.
As a Christian.
Yeah.
I had so many things that I didn't realize. But so many times I thought that it meant anything that was opposed to Jesus or against Jesus. But it literally means in the instead of Jesus or in the place of Jesus. That's what it literally means.
So that being the case, when we see that concept of something in the place of Jesus, it brings us to another, I guess, understanding of this Christ coming in our flesh or being in our flesh.
Hmm.
You know, is Christ come in my flesh? Is he willing to give me instruction? Yes, he is. Am I willing to accept him in my flesh? That's the real
question. Yeah, do I want
question.
My flesh instead of Christ?
Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
Do I want my way instead?
Look at verse 1 and 2 of this chapter. Okay?
Okay.
2 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He's talking to this lady that he knows. We don't know who that is, okay? But he says that he's talking to all those who have known the truth. And we know that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. But look what the next verse says. For the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. Didn't Jesus say that I will not leave you comfortless?
Yes.
I will come to you?
You know, John uses this term over and over and over, doesn't he?
So someone who's anti-Christ or instead of Christ would want to put somebody else in my heart and mind other than Christ Jesus.
That's a very good point. So what you're saying is, in other words, this battle, this spiritual warfare that's going on that we can't see, either we accept Christ or we accept Satan.
Hmm. Somebody else. Yeah. Eventually comes down to the battle between Christ and Satan. It comes down to that battle.
You know, it's really, you know, when you put it into that perspective, that's pretty blatant.
It's pretty shocking, isn't it?
It is.
Because if any of us don't really take a hard look at whether we want Jesus in our lives or something else, you know, we're really giving ourselves over to deception and the lies of Satan and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, look at what verse 8 says. Look to yourselves so that we may not lose those things which we worked out, but that we may receive a full reward.
Mm. Self-examination.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes we can't, you know, I tend to be easy on myself sometimes. Mm. In some areas, I'm hard on myself. I think we all are in some areas. But when it comes to something that I want to do, I'm usually kind of easy on myself. I overlook things. So sometimes a good thing to do, this is why fellowship is good. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we can point things out and help each other to overcome things.
You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians says basically almost the same thing word for word. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5.
Okay.
It's funny. Ed, I wish all of our listeners could see Ed right now because he's mouthing the words of this as as they're coming out of my mouth. It says, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul tells us, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates.
Yes. Mine says disqualify it.
Yeah. I find that very interesting that John and Paul are bringing out this same concept. So, and it all has to do with whether Christ is in our hearts and minds leading us or not.
That's it.
It just comes down to that very question.
It sure does. So this is, I'll tell you, it's amazing how just two little verses have so much information in them. And this topic of Christ in you keeps coming up week after week after week. And it's not because we're taking it there. It's because that's what the texts are talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think all of us have talked about this many times. Really, the influence of Christ in our lives is the thing that takes us away from the influence of the world. Amen. That influence, Christ being in our hearts and minds, the concept of God's government, His commandments, all those truths that the Bible talks about, if we don't have those things in our minds, if we don't have the influence of the Spirit of Christ, then we're influenced by everything else. We're influenced by the world and all the things that we read back there in Galatians that lead to death and don't lead to life.
We're talking about examining ourselves, and sometimes we look at ourselves and really don't like what we see. And we decide, I'm going to make a change, I'm going to fix that. Sometimes that's harder to do than to say.
Sure.
Sometimes what we need to do is maybe concentrate on a relationship with Christ and His Father, and those things will naturally change when we do that.
Yeah.
Because we're establishing that relationship, we're experiencing the power of living Christ within us. And that will lead to change. It will lead to change in thinking. I don't want to do those things anymore.
That's very true.
Not that I want to do them and I shouldn't do them, but I still want to do them. It will change that. And that's how we overcome sin in our lives.
That's it. That sounds just like what Paul said. The things that I want to do.
Yes.
Right?
Chapter 7 of Romans. Yes.
Yeah. So this is really good stuff. So, you know, we need to examine ourselves. We need to make sure that we're living a life like Christ lived. And we can't do it ourselves because I naturally want to do things that He doesn't want me to do.
Yeah.
Ed, what I think you're talking about is association.
Yeah.
Association. We all know, and the scripture's clear on this, that if we associate with bad people, their badness, so to speak, is going to rub off on us.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happens with Christ Jesus. If we associate with Him, have Him in our lives, the principles of His character all the time, that goodness, so to speak, is going to rub off on our character.
Yeah. You know, often we think about our relationship with God as through God's Word, but prayer is an important concept,
oh,
and part of the relationship, just talking to God, asking for the help of Christ in you, mm-hmm. you know, experience a relationship with Christ and his Father.
Yes. And I think we, sometimes this world, you know, we push those things away because we're so busy. The phone rings, you know, I'm so distracted with this or that. Sometimes, and this is something, I don't know if you're talking about prayer. I just wanted to touch on this.
Yes.
One of the things, problems that I have is sometimes I'll use windshield time if I'm driving mm-hmm. to pray. But inevitably, something will happen to distract me from that. And, you know, I've often thought, when we're having a conversation and something distracts me from what we were talking about, I don't forget to talk to you because you're with me.
Yeah.
But for some reason, why don't I think that God is with me? You know, when I'm driving along, I get distracted. I start thinking about something else. I forget that I was talking to him.
Prayer is a conversation.
It is a conversation. That's the point. Yes. You're talking with him. He speaks to us through his word, through nature, through people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the relationship. So, Rick, I just wanted to touch on it. I wanted to give a Bible verse because this was instilled in my brain. It was etched into my brain as a kid. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
Yeah.
So it is about who we're around.
So that's a text that talks about evil company.
Right.
I have a text here that talks about good company.
Let's look at that.
Okay. So it's 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Okay.
And I want to, I guess, expand that a little bit.
Sure.
But it's kind of a text that's hard to understand, but when you really think about the concept of it and we go through it, in fact, I may read it in the NIV because it's easier. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Mm-hmm. It says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Ah.
So the more we interact with God in prayer, the more we interact with God in Christ through the Bible, our characters are changed more and more because they, for lack of a better term, rub off on us, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
So the company that we keep, if it's with Jesus, we're going to be more like Jesus. If it's like these schlups from the world.
Schlup? Is that a word?
I don't know. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. You know, people who are just naturally, there are people who just do evil things. Let's face it.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Any parent out there wants their kid to be around other good kids.
Sure.
And it's the same principle. That's an easy principle to get across.
It is. And, you know, we do want to be around people. We all also, we gravitate toward people that like the same things we like.
That's true.
And, you know, I think that's what brought us together is our love for the Word of God.
Yeah.
Our wanting to know him.
Yeah.
And so back to 2 John. Was there any other thoughts before we go back there, you guys? 2 John, Ed, you read verse 8. You want to continue on?
Yes. Ed?
Okay, sure.
Rick, it doesn't matter to me.
Verse 9. Everyone transgressing and not abiding in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor speak a greeting to him. For he who speaks a greeting to him is partaker of his evil deeds.
What do you think that means? Does that mean we can't talk to anybody that doesn't?
I think it's just what we've talked about. Be careful who you have a close association with.
Yeah.
If you have a close association with someone who teaches wrong things about God's word, that's the problem, because again, it can rub off on you.
I'm there with Ed, and I think if it would mean we shouldn't have anything to do with someone who is of different mindset, a different denomination, a different, you know, do we witness to people who are who don't believe in the same God we do, or a different religion. Do we witness to those people or not? And I think the answer is we do. That those principles are in Scripture clearly. I think it's telling us to be careful of what our associations are.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that if someone said hello to Jesus when he was on this earth, I couldn't imagine him turning his head and not responding or replying.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. He would have something to say, whether it was a greeting or a reprimand or a way to maybe help them to think, or I can't imagine him not saying anything. Especially if they were being friendly to them. Any other thoughts on this passage here? I love the fact that verse 9 talks about he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
Yeah. Well, I think the Father and the Son are on the same page. I would say.
if you can't have the Father without the Son, right?
All right.
So we've got, what, two more verses here. Yep. Can we finish this study today?
Sure. Yeah.
Ed, go ahead.
12 and 13. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to say with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face so that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen.
So John here is writing a letter, and he says, look, I want to make this personal. I don't just want to put it on paper. I want to come and visit.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's saying here?
Which reminds me, if any of the listeners that are hearing this program want to come and visit us in Stanton, Virginia, it's in the mountainside of Virginia, you know, in the west. In fact, we're just, I don't know, 20 or 30 miles from West Virginia where we are right here. If any of you want to come and visit, you're welcome to do that. Just shoot us an email and we'll give you directions. And I think the address is right on our website anyway.
1743 West Beverly Street, Stanton, Virginia.
We'd love to see you face to face.
Yeah, right? We would. Just like this. So, you know, friends, we really appreciate you tuning in, and we want to close with a prayer. So, Ed, would you have a prayer for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're grateful for your word and the promises therein and the knowledge we can gain from it. Father, we're seeking you because we need changes in our life, and we know that can come through Jesus Christ alone. And what a gift you've given us, not only his death on the cross to cover our sins and to reconcile us to you, but his life that he now wishes to live within us to help us overcome sin in our lives so that we can be safe to save. We thank you for these promises. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, brothers, thank you so much for being here this evening. And, friends, we want you to tune in again next week. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.